Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Indeed. Today I want to focus in on that last word of the Easter acclamation. That word, indeed. I almost titled this message, Indeed, but I didn't want you to think it was an ad for a job search company. Indeed. That's a word we all know, and we all know what it means, though we don't all use it all the time. I wonder how many of us used the word indeed this week in normal conversation outside of worship and outside of maybe searching for a job. It almost sounds like a Lord of the Rings kind of fantasy word, doesn't it? Indeed. You have to say it with a Shakespearean accent. Indeed, we had pizza for supper last night. Indeed. Indeed, we hid 1,000 eggs for the egg hunt yesterday at the Ark Park. And the challenge group hid almost 2,000 eggs at people's houses yesterday. Indeed. Indeed means it's true. It's not just a story. It's not just fiction. It's fact. Indeed. In a word, it means really. This is reality. This is the way it really is. And in Luke 24, 34, a bunch of followers of Jesus came to the same conclusion that Jesus had really come back from the dead. Look with me at Luke 24, 34. There's a group of Jesus' followers who have gathered in Jerusalem on or just after that amazing Sunday, which we've been celebrating all morning. They'd had the most bewildering day, and they were comparing notes. In the room, who was in the room? In the room were the 11 apostles. How come 11? I thought there were 12. Well, Judas, of course, had betrayed Jesus and left him forever. And there were others there with the 11 who were also followers of Jesus. And there were these two disciples. One of them was named Cleopas. We don't know the second one's name. I like to think of him as Mrs. Cleopas. And they just had the most amazing experience of their life. And they all gathered together back in Jerusalem and they were comparing notes. Look at verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Simon is another name for the Apostle Peter. Do you see the word indeed in verse 34? It's in there. It's in the Greek original of Luke 24:34. The Greek word is ontos, really. The NIV translates it how? It is true. The CSB, the Christian Standard Bible, translates it, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." The Old King James Version and the New English Standard Version both say, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And the New American Standard Bible, the New Living Translation both say, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." Ontos. Really. This is a fact. That's so important. We've all gathered here today to make a big deal of the resurrection. And that's because it's true. This isn't a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just a nice story that we tell the kids or that we soothe ourselves with to make us feel good. This is not just a song. It's not just a season. It's not just a Sunday. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact. It's real. Do you believe that? It's increasingly difficult these days to separate fact from fiction. There are a lot of scams out there. So many people are lying to us. And now we have robots to lie to us too. Artificial intelligence. Great tool perhaps in the right hands, terrible tool in the wrong. Sometimes it's hard to tell what is true and what is fake. I have a pastor friend who has begun gathering information about the common scams that target church members. And he's been teaching his congregation how to keep from getting scammed these days, especially online. A few years ago, somebody was sending messages in my name. They'd say, hey, it's Pastor Matt Mitchell. And they'd send a message to some of you saying, I'm trying to get some gift cards together to help cancer patients. Wasn't me. Somebody pretending to be me, trying to fool you into giving them money. Wicked. How do you tell? One of the best ways is to check and make sure that the stories line up. Call your bank to make sure. Call your credit company. Check with a different family member to see if what you are supposedly hearing from someone who needs money is true. Check with others to make sure the stories line up. And if they don't line up, be very, very wary. These people in Luke 24 were all checking with each other to make sure that the stories all lined up. And they concluded that they did. It was all true. It was all real. Christ is risen indeed. Do you remember when you first came to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead? I mean, that's a crazy thing to believe. You don't know anybody else who's risen from the dead. Maybe somebody was resuscitated. But 3 days later, after they'd buried them, they were certifiably dead. Flat brain scans, EKG, nothing. They were gone. We believe that Jesus Christ came back from that. That's a crazy thing to believe, unless it's true. Do you remember when you first came to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead? Maybe you've always been told it's true. And maybe you believed it when you were little, and then you started to doubt and question. Do you remember when you were finally convinced? Maybe even right now you're not so sure. Maybe you've been dragged here today by somebody. It's Easter. You got to go to church with your family. Okay, I'll sit here while you guys sing these songs about Jesus coming back from the dead. Can I encourage you to make it your life's mission to find out if it's true? Because everything hangs on this. If Jesus has come back from the dead, it makes all the difference in the world. It means that God is real. It means that miracles are real. It means that Jesus is trustworthy because he said he was going to and then he did. It means that there is life after death. It means that that forgiveness is real. It means that resurrection itself is real. If Jesus can be raised from the dead, then so can you and I. Because I'm telling you this, we're all going to die. The question is, are we going to come back from the dead? If Jesus is raised from the dead, then his kingdom will come. And all bad things must come to an end. Really? It means all of that and so much more if this is real. It gives us something to build our lives on. I don't know about you, but I want to build my life on fact, not on fiction, and certainly not just on my feelings. We come in this morning and we sing the songs and we get all excited and then we walk away and say, is it real? Feelings come and go. Feelings lie to us. But I want to know what is really real and build my life on that. When I struggle with my faith, and I do, pastors struggle too. Whenever I struggle with my faith, I start back at this foundation. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Yes, indeed he did, really. And then I build everything on that bedrock fact once again. If you're trying to figure this out right now, there are many books I could recommend that examine the evidence and help you to make up your own mind. This week I read this little book. It's called Did the Resurrection Really Happen? By Timothy Paul Jones. I'd be glad to loan you my copy. Today you can walk away with this. Whatever you do, don't put this off. Don't say, well, I'll think about that later, sometime. There's too much at stake. This group in verse 34 said, "It is true. The Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Verse 35. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now that's an amazing story too that you can read in verses 13 through 32. Maybe this afternoon you want to read all of Luke 24. These two disciples, one of them's named Cleopas, were walking on the road to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were bewildered by everything that had happened this week. They're talking. You ever travel with somebody and you're just talking about your whole week and how this was hard and that was so strange and hard to put this thing together? What a week it had been. Starting on Sunday with the triumphal entry of Jesus on that little donkey's back, palm branches waving and laid out in front of him. "Your king comes to you. Hosanna!" And everybody thought they knew what was happening. This was it. The king had come. It's happening. And then it all went sideways. Well, these two are talking about all this, and a third person joins them on the road. And it's Jesus. But for some supernatural reason, they can't tell that it's him. Not yet. And he asks them, "So, what are you guys talking about? What's going on?" And Cleopas is like, "What rock have you been hiding under this week? We've been talking about Jesus." Verse 19. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Cleopas is talking here about the first part of Luke 24. Again, you might want to read that whole thing for yourself this afternoon. We studied it in depth a few years ago as a church. These women had gone to the tomb where Jesus was buried. Yes, he was buried. That's what you do with a corpse. You bury it. But these women had gone to visit the tomb, and they found that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. Really empty. His tomb was really empty. There was nobody there. No body there. There were a couple of angels whose clothes gleamed like lightning. What was that like? I can't imagine. They had not, at this time, harnessed electricity, right? There were no lights in their buildings, right? Other than the sun, the brightest thing that they knew was lightning. Ever close your eyes after a lightning strike and you could still see the lightning? So there are these two men whose clothes were like electricity, living electricity, and they had a message. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And the ladies ran back and they told the 11. And one of them, Peter, and his buddy John, ran to the tomb. And they saw that it was empty. Really? Peter saw the strips of linen that Jesus had been wrapped in, but no Jesus. And Peter wondered, what is going on? So Cleopas and his friend are telling Jesus this story as they walk to Emmaus. I can't imagine what that was like. They were having the hardest time putting it all together. And Jesus is right there walking with them, and he actually rebukes them and explains to them how all of this was predicted in the Old Testament. He said, it's in verse 25, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, there's a part of me that would have loved to be a fly on the wall for that Bible study, right? Bible study with Jesus, where he explains the whole Old Testament in 7 miles. There's also another part of me who would not want to be rebuked by Jesus and to not know that it was Jesus who was explaining the whole sweep of the Bible from Moses and all the prophets, how the whole Old Testament is about Jesus himself. The scriptures are really fulfilled. The scriptures are really fulfilled. In the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus, the scriptures are really fulfilled. The Christ had to suffer these things and then enter into his glory. The Bible says so. I want to invite all of you to come back next Sunday as we continue our study of the letter to the Hebrews. Because we've been learning this very thing, that everything in the Old Testament pointed towards Jesus. Right now, we're in chapters 3 and 4, where we're learning that the promised land pointed to Jesus. The whole Bible is about Jesus, according to Jesus, and it's all coming true in Jesus. And these two disciples are learning this from Jesus as they approach Emmaus. And Jesus acts like he's going to continue on the road, but they ask him to stay with them, and they stop somewhere to eat. And that's when they recognize who he is. He took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it with his nail-scarred hands, and he gave it to them to eat. And then he was gone. But it was him. They knew it was him. And they were saying to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And aren't all of these scriptures really fulfilled in him? I don't know about you, but that's the kind of heartburn that I want to have. And they can't sleep. They're so excited by what has happened that they turn around and go back the 7 miles to Jerusalem, and they find the others. Verse 33 again. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. Antos, really? The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Now, we don't even know when Jesus appeared to Simon Peter. None of the Gospels recount that part of the story. It's clear that it happened. We just don't have all the details. Paul talks about it again in 1 Corinthians 15. Peter got a personal resurrection appearance. What a moment that must have been. It was real. It wasn't a hoax. It wasn't a scam. It wasn't a hallucination. It was real. And then Jesus shows up again in Jerusalem. Look at verse 35. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. As the choir just sang, Jesus is really alive. He's not a ghost. He may have abilities to come and go in ways that mortals do not, but he is flesh and blood. He showed them his hands and feet. He said, touch me. Can you imagine touching him? He says, really, it's me. Come look. Go ahead. Touch. Poke me. I'm alive. He eats a piece of fish, right? Okay, see this fish? He's not a ghost. You know what else he's not? He's not a zombie. A dozen years ago, I preached a sermon on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is not a zombie. He's not undead and can be killed again. He's alive and now has the power of an indestructible life. Really? Really? Indeed. This is worth singing about. This is worth building your life upon. This is worth staking everything on. We have all gathered here today to make a big deal of the resurrection, and that's totally right as long as it is true. But what fools we are if it is not. How much of your life have you spent on Sunday mornings at church? Is that a good investment? I believe it is. But if Jesus has not come back from the dead, you could be having brunch. You could be sleeping in. You could be doing just about anything else. If Jesus has not come back from the dead, that means that God is not real. It means that miracles are not real. It means that Jesus is not trustworthy. It means that there is no life after death. It means that there is, that forgiveness of sins is impossible. It means that resurrection is a fake. If Jesus has not been raised, then we are still in our sins and won't rise again. If Jesus has not been raised, then you and I certainly will not be. And Jesus' kingdom that he talked about will not come. And all good things must come to an end. What do you think? We all need to decide. And we need to be honest about it. There's too much at stake to play games here. For me, I believe Cleopas and Simon Peter and Mary Magdalene. I believe his tomb was and is really empty. I believe the scriptures were and are and will really be fulfilled in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is really alive. And because I believe, I rejoice. I love verse 41 where it says that they were struggling to believe because of the joy and amazement. It just seems too good to be true. It's actually too good to not be true. Jesus was dead. He was a corpse. All of our hopes and dreams had died with him, and yet here he is eating broiled fish. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here he is showing us his nail-scarred hands and feet and sending us on a mission to proclaim this good news. The chapter ends with the risen Jesus giving his disciples one last reminder of the gospel and a mission to share it with the whole world. Look at verse 46. He told them, this is what was written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, the Holy Spirit, but stay until in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And then 50 days later, when he'd led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And then the book of Acts says, as we sang earlier, they proclaimed that gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, even to central Pennsylvania. Really? And we've all gathered here today to make a big deal of it. And that's absolutely right. Who can you tell today that all of this is true? That you have become convinced that the tomb is empty, that the scriptures are really fulfilled, and that Jesus is really alive. And that means that repentance and forgiveness of sins can be preached in Jesus' name. Repentance, turn away from your sin, and forgiveness, trusting in what he did for us at the cross. We can be forgiven because Jesus has paid for our sins and was raised for our justification. We get the gift of his righteousness because Jesus is really alive. And one day, all bad things must come to an end. Amen.